The General Electric Theater. Tonight starring Mr. Van Johnson. This is Ken Carpenter welcoming you to the General Electric Theater, presented by the makers of famous, dependable kitchen and home laundry appliances, General Electric. Tonight we bring you Mr. Van Johnson in Sigmund Bird's The Old Man's Bride. The tale of one man wooing a maid for another has always been a universal favorite, and it's been told in many ways by many people. Several weeks ago, we presented one version in the famous play Cyrano de Bergerac. And tonight, we are bringing you transcribed another, Sigmund Bird's charming and unforgettable romance, The Old Man's Bride, starring Van Johnson. But first, ladies, no need to say you haven't got room for a food freezer in your home. Not when you can get General Electric's new 14-cubic-foot upright food freezer that fits into your kitchen right alongside your GE refrigerator. It packs away 490 pounds of frozen food, nearly a quarter of a ton. Oh, that's a lot of frozen food. Because this GE freezer is an upright, it's easier to get at the food, and the sliding adjustable shelves make it even more convenient. This GE food freezer is dependable, too, for a GE food freezer is built with the same sealed-in refrigerating mechanism that's kept millions of GE refrigerators in service 10 years or longer. Your GE dealer will tell you how you can own a new upright General Electric food freezer for only about $5.36 a week after a small down payment. See him tomorrow. And now the first act of The Old Man's Bride, starring Mr. Van Johnson.
It was a fine spring day in the year 1844, about the time Texas was negotiating a treaty of annexation with the United States of the North. A few years back, Colonel DeWalt and I had fought together in a war to take Texas away from Mexico, and then we'd retired to the Colonel's Caney Plantation on the Brazos River, where we now lived like a couple of Aztec kings. Well, on this day, it was about noon when I rode up from the prairie fields to the big house, and I found the colonel sitting in a willow chair in the gallery, as was his habit before dinner.
Hello, Henry.
Colonel, you sent for me, sir?
Yes. I want you to go down to New Orleans with Captain Santos. There's a special item I want you to fetch me back on the return voyage. When will the brig sail?
We ought to finish loading tomorrow, sir. What was it you wanted from New Orleans?
A wife.
What particular kind, Colonel? Jack, Bowie, Penn, Dirk, Butcher?
I didn't say knife, you young clown. I said wife.
What?
Close your mouth. I can see clean to your gullet.
But, Colonel, I don't...
Be quiet and listen. Henry, I'm in the prime of life and lonely. This house needs a woman. But none of these sun-baked, corn-fed women. I want a beauty, a sure enough good looker with at least a smidgen of common sense.
Are you serious, sir?
Of course I am. You pick her and I'll marry her. Savvy?
The colonel was a handsome man, big, red-haired, with muscles like a draft horse. There was only a little gray in his hair and none in his beard. You'd never guess he'd turned 50, but he was never a man for dalliance. He was a man's man, as the boys he'd led in action could tell you, and I was with him in those places.
Well, Henry, do you understand?
No, sir. I don't savvy a man sending another man to fetch him a wife.
Why not? Don't you buy my clothes, my tobacco, everything for me?
Well...
Have I ever complained?
No, sir, but this is a bit different.
Henry, I trust you completely. You've never made a mistake for me, except that time at San Jacinto when you joined in the charge while you were supposed to be guarding our rear. That was the only time you ever disobeyed my orders.
I'm sorry, Colonel.
You should be.
It would have cost me my life if you hadn't ridden back in time.
I've never regretted saving your life, Henry. But I do think sometimes I've made you too much a part of me. How old are you now?
About 26, sir. I don't know for sure.
A man's age. Do you ever think of marrying?
Sometimes I do, Colonel. But usually I'm too busy to give it much thought.
Too busy? Look, Henry, it's true that you've improved this plantation more than anybody else could possibly do. Except maybe me.
Thank you, sir.
But don't you know that next to me, you're the best catch in Texas, my boy? You're more than just my overseer. You're a landowner in your own right. And when I die, you'll get a share of Caney. You're a man of importance, Henry, and reasonably good-looking, besides.
It hasn't done me any good so far, sir.
It will, when the time comes. Well, let's go into dinner now. I'll tell you more about this business of picking me a wife.
Early next morning, we rode down to the DeWalt warehouse landing at Velasco, where the hands were loading the colonel's brig, the Mariposa, with bales of cotton and hogsheads of sugar and bundles of hides. The colonel and I dismounted and went directly aboard. Captain Santos in fresh whites greeted us warmly and gave Colonel DeWalt an ingratiating leer.
Oh, I hope I can be of assistance in this delicate matter, sir. I hope the young Senor Markham here will not hesitate to call upon me for counsel and advice.
Markham will take care of it by himself, Skipper.
Oh, certainly, sir. I only...
He has a list of supplies to be bought in New Orleans, and you can help him with that. But keep out of what you call this delicate matter. Savvy?
Of course, Colonel.
Henry, you sure you understand everything? You have the letter from President Houston and the notices from the newspaper?
Yes, sir. They're all safe in my money belt.
Well, Henry, this is the most important mission you've ever undertaken for me. I know I can trust you.
Of course you can, sir.
God be with you, my boy. I'll bid you goodbye now.
I'll do my best, Colonel. Goodbye, sir. A week later, we came in tow into the great noisy harbor of New Orleans and found a mooring at the foot of Bienville Street. I went ashore at once, stopped by the newspaper office to leave the notices advertising for the colonel's bride, and then took a suite at the St. Charles Hotel. By noon next day, I had received some 20 applicants, only one of which seemed at first to meet with qualifications. One was a lovely Creole girl with a face like a rose, but she was accompanied by a doer and aged uncle.
Perhaps you do not realize, Monsieur Markham, my niece here is not only beautiful, but a creature of many talents. Is that not so, Yvonne? Ah, she's so shy, this girl.
Modesty is a virtue in women, sir.
I must admit, monsieur, it is only the impoverished condition of my family that has persuaded me to part with my niece.
I don't quite follow you, sir.
First, there is the price. How much do you think your colonel is willing to pay?
Sir, Colonel DeWalt does not intend to buy a wife. Any woman should jump at the chance to marry a man from the Republic of Texas.
But think of our family, monsieur. We have been poor so long, and to lose our little flower, our Yvonne...
If you please, sir, the interview is at an end. We have nothing to discuss. My apologies to you, miss.
Come, Yvonne. Good day, monsieur.
Goodbye. You're next, miss. Come in. Sit down, please. Your name?
I'm Miss Fanny Langton. Do you recognize my name, Mr. Markham?
I seem to, but I'm not quite sure
where... I'm playing at the American Theater. The Lady and the Devil, you know. I'm cast as the lady.
Of course. But I've never been to the theater. I must have seen your name in the newspaper. Are you a famous actress?
Oh, heavens, no. I'm not even a very good one. And I'm sure I'll never be famous. It's just that the theater is all I know. My father was an actor, and he died poor and unhappy.
I see.
I'm not as young as I look, either. And I think I'd rather be the wife of a Texas planter than an aging and mediocre actress. Tell me, how old is Colonel DeWalt?
He's 52, but you'd never know it. Over there is a portrait of him I brought along, if you'd care to look at it.
Oh, he has a good face. Well, I can see of it. But that beard... Do you suppose he could be persuaded to part with it?
I can't imagine the colonel without his beard.
But what can one really tell about a man with a full beard?
Colonel DeWalt is the finest man I ever knew. And I knew General Austin. I know President Houston and General Mirabeau Lamar.
Mm-hmm. And of those four, how many wore beards?
Well, come to think of it, only Colonel DeWalt.
There. You see? And now thank you, Mr. Markham. I'll think it over and let you know. Goodbye.
Yes, of course. Goodbye, Miss Langton. She was a lovely creature, Fanny Langton, but her directness was disconcerting, and anyway, I knew the colonel would never stand for taking off his beard. Next morning, there was business to attend to and supplies to be bought. I went out and got as far as Banks Arcade, where I noticed a large crowd gathered in front of a drug and medicine store. A tall gentleman in a silk hat was standing on a dais delivering a lecture, and next to him was the loveliest girl I'd ever seen. There was a sweetness about her, a clean, radiant eagerness. She was like a Texas girl who'd stayed in the shade and never tasted cornbread. I pushed my way through the throng.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, you see before you the assistant, Miss Olivia Standifer, formerly of Mobile, Alabama. This lovely child is the living proof of the wondrous powers of Dr. Castillo's celebrated anti-scorbutic and restorative compound. It cures, ladies and gentlemen, it cures consumption, tenesmus, the entery, diseases caused by the scorbutic virus, wasting diseases, blood tumors, slow, intermittent, and continual fevers. Would you believe that this beautiful girl, less than 6 months ago, was a poor, sickly creature with scarcely enough strength to lift the dasher of a churn? Well, me friends, it's the gospel truth. And what produced this miraculous change? I'll tell you.
I'll take 100 bottles, Doctor.
Oh, did you say a 100, sir?
I did, but I'll expect a reasonable discount, of course.
Certainly, sir. Miss Olivia, will you conduct this gentleman into the store and fill his order? Charge him the wholesale price.
Follow me, sir.
Yes, friends, I discovered this amazing formula while serving as personal surgeon to the king.
The wholesale discount is 50%, sir. 100 bottles would be exactly $50 and no charge for drayage in the city. You want them delivered, I expect?
If you will. Send them to the Brig Mariposa, Santos Master, foot of Bienville Street. Issue the receipt to me, Henry Markham of Caney Plantation, Brazoria County, Republic of Texas.
Yes, sir. I want to thank you, Mr. Markham, for getting me a raise of wages.
I don't understand.
Well, when I read about you in the newspapers, I told Dr. Castillon he'd have to pay me $10 a month more, or I'd go straight to the St. Charles Hotel and promise to marry this rich planter out in Texas.
Tell me, Miss Olivia, would you have done it?
Oh, no. After all, your colonel, what's-his-name, wouldn't have me.
Ah, you're wrong. He'd have you, all right.
But I'm nobody. Tell me, what's he like, this colonel you work for?
Colonel DeWalt is the finest man that ever breathed, Mr. Olivia.
Where'd you meet him?
Oh, I was a sergeant of volunteers in his own company. And then in the spring of 36, he made me a platoon leader. That's when we stopped running and turned back to face Santa Ana's armies at San Jacinto.
Were you wounded?
Yes, a piece of grape hit me. And Colonel DeWalt saved my life.
Oh, no wonder you're grateful to him. But what happened afterward, after the war?
Well, he took me to Caney with him. It wasn't much then. The house had been burned and the stock was gone. The fields lay ruined.
But you built it all up again.
Yes. The colonel made me his overseer and treated me like an only son. I worked hard for him, but now we've got everything we need. Caney Plantation is worth millions.
Ah, he must be a wonderful man, Mr. Markham, or you couldn't love him the way you do, because I'm sure you're good.
Miss Olivia, I don't know what to say except that the colonel would be fortunate to have you as his wife and mistress of Caney Plantation.
How soon could we leave for Texas?
Then you'll come?
Yes, Mr. Markham, if you want me to.
Oh, we'll leave as soon as you're ready. I still have some business to attend to, but this afternoon we'll go out and buy you a trousseau. Anything you like.
Whenever you say.
President Houston and General Mirabeau Lamar will be guests at the wedding.
Oh, how wonderful.
Then can you meet me at the St. Charles Hotel at 1 o'clock?
I'll be there.
You've solved a great problem for me, Miss Olivia.
I'm glad, Mr. Markham.
Courtesy of MGM, producers of the Technicolor picture, Mogambo, starring Clark Gable and Ava Gardner. You've all heard of spaceships and spacemen. Well, here's a new space hero, General Electric's new deluxe Spacemaker range. This beautiful new GE range is only 36 inches wide, yet the oven is big enough to cook a dinner for 24 people. It will accommodate 4 cake layers on a single shelf. And this new GE Spacemaker range has GE's famous push-button controls and an extra high-speed GE Calrod surface unit that gets meals off to a fast start. An easy-to-use GE oven timer. In fact, this GE Spacemaker range has every important feature of a big deluxe GE range. So if you need to save inches where inches count, you can still fit this GE Spacemaker range in it. Your GE dealer will tell you how you can fit GE's new deluxe Spacemaker range into your budget, too, for only about $3.02 a week after small down payment. And now with our star, Mr. Van Johnson, we bring you the second act of The Old Man's Bride.
The next night, Miss Olivia Standifer and I had supper aboard Colonel DeWalt's brig, and I must say that Olivia was even more beautiful than when I had first seen her. I watched her in her new gray traveling suit and thought how pleased the Colonel would be with his bride. Everything was fine, and maybe it would have come off as planned, but for the storm that overtook us the second day at sea. Olivia and I were sitting in the main saloon about midday.
Does the Colonel ever go to New Orleans himself, Henry?
Oh, very seldom anymore. He prefers to stay in the plantation. Why?
Well, I just thought it might grow lonely there. It sounds so wild and far away.
Yes, I suppose it is. Especially if you're used to great cities like New Orleans and all the other places you've been.
One can be lonely in cities, too, Henry.
I never thought much about being lonely.
Tell me something.
Of course.
Are all the men in the Republic of Texas as self-sufficient as you are?
That isn't it, Olivia. It's just that I've been too busy to worry much about myself.
And are you happy?
Oh, as happy as any man in my position.
There, now, that's just what I mean. You're self-sufficient. You don't need anything more than you've got.
I'm tolerably well off for a young man.
I wasn't speaking of wealth or power or anything like that, Henry.
What, then?
People.
Why, there are all kinds of people at Caney.
Women?
A few of the hands are married.
Are there any unmarried women at Caney?
No, I don't believe there are. Unless you count children.
I'm not counting children, Henry.
Some of the hands have children.
Oh, dear.
What?
You, that's what.
Have I offended you?
Of course not. You don't even know what I'm talking about.
You were talking about being lonely at Caney.
I was trying to talk about you being lonely at Caney.
But I'm not.
I know. That's the whole trouble with you.
Why? Is it good to be lonely?
No, it's bad, but it's worse to be lonely and not even know you are.
Me?
Yes, you. Why do you work so hard? Why is your whole life taken up with running a plantation? Why do you never think of anything but that in the war? I'll tell you why. Because you're afraid to do anything else or to think of anything else.
Now, why should I be afraid of that?
Because then you'd discover how lonely you really are.
Oh, I never thought of it that way.
Of course you haven't.
Well, it's no use starting now, though.
Why?
Well, supposing I discovered, as you say, how lonely I am, then I'd just be unhappy.
Henry, you're the only Texan I've ever known, but if they're all like you, the race is doomed to extinction.
You're off again? Just when I think I understand you, you suddenly change horses.
I'll make it very simple. If being lonely makes you unhappy, why don't you stop being lonely? Now, that's clear enough, isn't it?
Oh, you mean get married?
Yes, I mean get married.
Well, why didn't you say so?
I tried.
Well, I'm not going to get married.
Why not?
Oh, of course, I do have 7,000 acres of Brazos River bottomland the Colonel gave me, and I'm thinking of building a house there.
A house? Then you are going to get married.
I can't get married, Olivia.
Why can't you?
All the women at Caney are babies, or they're already married.
Is Caney the only place in the world where there are women? What did the Colonel do when he wanted a wife?
Yes, I suppose I could go to New Orleans again.
But you won't.
No, I won't. If I ever get married, it'd have to be somebody I already know, Olivia. Like you.
Like me?
Well, I didn't mean that. I meant like you, for example.
Oh.
You're already married, practically.
And if I weren't?
I'd never have met you. I only went to New Orleans to find the Colonel a bride. I wouldn't have gone there otherwise.
Henry, you have a lot to learn about women.
I suppose. But you see, I never knew any I've spent all my life just with men and horses and guns. I don't suppose I'm very civilized, really.
You're more civilized than you know.
Senor Markham.
Oh, hello, Captain.
Oh, senor. I came to tell you that we are running into a storm.
How bad a storm?
There will be no danger, but it will be rough for a day, maybe two.
How exciting. I love storms.
There's no way to avoid it, Captain?
I'm afraid not, senor.
But, Henry, you're not afraid of a storm, are you?
I'm strictly a fair weather sailor, Olivia. I belong on the land, not on a ship. And I don't do too well in a rough sea.
Oh, yes. Poor Senor Markham.
When do you expect the storm, Captain?
Oh, in a couple of hours, we'll run into the edge of it.
Well, let's go on deck, Olivia. I won't be much company for you once it begins. By evening, the brig was riding on her beam ends, and I had become ill. However, Olivia insisted on nursing me herself. Hour after hour, she sat in my cabin, and it was wonderful to have her tender sympathy. The storm lasted 3 days, and when it was over, I was finally able to sit up in my bunk and sip broth held in the strong, fair hand of the girl I had chosen to be the colonel's bride.
Henry, did you really believe what he said about me, Dr. Castillon? Oh, Henry, in some ways you're like a little boy, a dear little boy. Yet you're a man, too. Good, wonderful man.
Olivia, there's something I must tell you.
Yes, Henry?
Something's happened that I didn't quite figure on.
I know.
You know? But how could
you? Because it's happened to me, too.
Oh, Olivia.
Me?
You're so beautiful and sweet and good.
For you? For you, maybe I am.
I never expected to fall in love, Olivia.
No, nor I, ever. Oh, Henry, I hope I'm worthy of you.
You? Worthy of me?
But I'm such a nobody.
You're important to me, Olivia.
Even more important than Colonel DeWalt.
Oh, the Colonel.
What is it?
Colonel DeWalt, you're his.
No, I'm not. I'm yours now.
But, Olivia...
It was meant to be this way, Henry, from the very moment we met. You know that.
We can't do this to him. You understand, don't you? After all he's done for me.
But, Henry, you've done a great deal for him, too. You've worked hard and built up the plantation for him. And you've lived like his son and kept him from loneliness.
Loneliness. That's why he sent me to pick you out for him.
So you failed him this once.
I know.
But he'll understand. He must.
No, Olivia. Colonel DeWalt's a good man. But he's as hard as stone about some things. When he gives an order, for example, it must be obeyed. He's good, but he can be a tiger.
Are you afraid of him, Henry?
Oh, of course not. It isn't that. Don't you see? He trusts
me. And what about me? You'd give me to your colonel?
No, I can't do that either. Of course not.
Henry.
What?
I wouldn't marry Colonel DeWalt now under any circumstances.
But, Olivia...
If you won't have me, I'll return to New Orleans. I'll go back with Dr. Castillo.
You can't do that. I won't have it.
And I won't marry Colonel DeWalt.
But you promised.
Henry, you're giving me away again. Don't you love me at all?
Oh, of course I do, yes. I don't know what I'm saying. Well, there's only one thing to do.
What?
I'm going to see Captain Santos. We'll be married at once aboard ship.
All right, Henry.
If we're already married, it'll be over and done with, you see. It'll be a fact. And the colonel's used to facing facts.
Henry, you've forgotten something.
What have I forgotten?
You haven't asked me to marry you yet.
Captain, I want to ask you a favor.
Certainly, Senor Markham, certainly. We'll be in Velasco by noon tomorrow, and only a little the worse for wear, not so?
This is a serious thing I'm asking of you, Captain Santos.
Of course, senor. Please tell me.
It concerns Miss Olivia.
And may I congratulate you, senor. She is so beautiful. Colonel DeWalt will be very proud. You've done a great job, senor.
Wait, Captain. This concerns Miss Olivia and me.
Well, I do not quite understand, senor.
Captain, I have a terrible problem. I love Miss Olivia, and she loves me.
What?
We want you to marry us.
Senor, have you gone mad?
Not at all. We want you to marry us now, at once.
But, senor, I could not do that to the colonel. Oh, you bring me a tragedy. I cannot marry you. It is impossible.
Why is it impossible?
The colonel. I could not face him, senor.
And you refuse?
Please, Senor Markham, I cannot marry you. Miss Olivia must be delivered to the colonel, along with the other items he sent for.
I'll be responsible for that, Captain.
Oh, if it were anything else, anything at all, senor.
All right, Captain. Good day.
Good day, senor.
Thank you.
No, Henry, there's only one honorable thing to do.
Yes, I know. We'll just have to face the colonel and tell him the truth.
I won't marry anyone but you, so he's really not losing anything.
We'll tell him, and then we'll go away somewhere and start life all over. We'll be poor, Olivia. I'll give him back my land. You won't have any fine clothes or servants or even a house.
Oh, I've been poor all my life. It won't matter.
But I'll make it up to you somehow.
Maybe someday the colonel will forgive you, Henry. It can't be that cold-hearted.
He'll never forgive me. I'm sorry for that. But I have you. We'll make a go of it somehow. I slept little that night. And the next morning, we sighted the Velasco shoreline and began beating up toward the mouth of the Brazos River. Soon, too soon, we were docked at the DeWalt warehouse. And I nervously searched the faces on shore for the colonel's, but I couldn't find it. Suddenly, though, I saw something that astonished me. I saw Fanny Langton, late of the American Theater in New Orleans. There was a gentleman beside her, but he was a stranger to me. As soon as we'd made fast, I conducted Olivia down the plank, and when we reached the wharf, it was the stranger with Fanny Langton who was the first to greet me.
Henry, my boy, welcome home. We feared you were lost at sea. Thank God you're safe.
Colonel DeWalt, I scarcely recognize you. What's happened to your beard, sir?
My beard is of no consequence. A great deal more than that's happened, my boy. A great deal, indeed. And who's the lady with you? Aren't you going to introduce her?
Oh, yes, yes, of course. My dear, this is Colonel DeWalt, Miss Olivia Standifer.
Your humble servant, Miss Standifer.
How do you do, Colonel?
Fanny, come here. You and Olivia must know each other.
How do you do, Olivia? And Henry, it's good to see you again.
Oh, I mean, of course, Fanny.
I hope you'll forgive me for coming ahead on the packet.
Yes, certainly. You missed the storm that way, didn't you?
I didn't know there was going to be a storm.
Colonel, there's something I've got to tell you.
We'll talk business later, Henry. I wonder what Houston will think of me without my beard.
What happened to your beard, sir?
My wife made me shave it off, insisted on it. Didn't you, Fanny, my bride?
I certainly did, dear. I certainly did.
How would you like to have your dishes washed free for the next 10 days? Well, then just listen to this wonderful offer. You can have a General Electric automatic dishwasher in your own home on a 10-day free trial at no cost to you, no obligation to buy. Just call your GE dealer and tell him you'd like to try a GE dishwasher in your home. He'll roll one right into your kitchen, a full-size, completely automatic dishwasher that attaches easily to your sink, with room inside for a whole day's dirty dishes, even your pots and pans. This GE dishwasher automatically pre-rinses, washes, rinses three separate times, and fan dries. Everything is sanitized in air, heated to over 180 degrees. Everything comes out sparkling, hygienically clean. Now, maybe you never dreamed you'd be able to try a dishwasher, but here's your chance. Ask your GE dealer about this wonderful 10-day free trial now. General Electric Theater has brought you The Old Van's Bride, starring Mr. Van Johnson. Featured in tonight's cast were John McIntyre, Nestor Paiva, Edgar Barrier, Jeanette Nolan, Dan O'Herlihy, and Mary Jane Croft. Old Man's Bride by Sigmund Bird, adapted by John Meston, was presented by arrangement with Columbia Pictures Incorporated, producers of From Here to Eternity, starring Burt Lancaster, Montgomery Clift, Deborah Carr, Donna Reed, and Frank Sinatra. Our music was by Wilbur Hatch. General Electric Theater is transcribed in Hollywood by Jaime Del Valle.
America now listens to 110 million radio sets and listens most to the CBS radio network.